That was awesome. Anybody else get something in their eye? I don't cry. Amazing grace. Amen. That's why we're here, right? Why'd you come to church today? It's a week after Easter. We celebrate that Jesus rose again to save us from our sins. And so here we are at church, or here we are as church. Well, that's really interesting. Well, guys, in four weeks, we have a guest speaker coming. I'm really looking forward to it. Going to be wonderful. So over the next 3 weeks, we're going to spend 3 weeks talking about the fact that it's us or else. As church, as the church, it's us or else. It's us or else to be the light to the world, to bring the message of Jesus Christ, to bring the message of sin, to bring the message of salvation, to love people and to serve people, to be light and truth in these confusing times where, just for example, in America, half the side says it's the other side's fault and they say it's their fault and people are more lost than ever. There's more sin than ever. And we bring the message of heaven versus hell and life versus death and blessing versus the curse. You guys know of all the universe today, rich, poor, races, countries, political parties, money, anything in the world, you know the only thing that's going to last for all time? The church. The church of Jesus Christ. He's coming back for His church. He will one day establish things being right. And right now, I want to tell you, I want to promise you that this church, when we will fall short, I will fall short, we will always strive to be a church that is the body of Jesus Christ, the hands and feet. A place where we can come and find purpose and share life and struggles with one another and bear one another's burdens. And most importantly, be on mission to serve our community, to bring the message of salvation, to see lost people saved, to make a difference. So for the next 3 weeks, we're going to be talking about church, at church, as the church, and the fact that it's us or else. And I believe in society, probably like never before, there's a misunderstanding of what the church is. I mean, how could it not be confusing? There's so many denominations. There's so many religions. And if you go around and you ask people, what's the church? Well, you know, it's a place full of hypocrites. It's a place that wants your money. They want you to dress up and they think they're better. All this stupid stuff that is not the church at all. I believe the church, and I know the church, is the greatest thing, the greatest organization in the world to be a part of. And if you and I as Christians would just grasp the importance of being the church, it would change the way that we live. The fact that we're not a building, we're not a name, we're not a denomination. Sometimes we need to step back and remind ourselves, we are the living body of Jesus Christ. His hands and feet, light to the world. Now, where does that get challenging? Look at everybody around here, and that's what this church is. No, that's only what this church is when that's what you are. And when that's what I am. As the church. Forget the pastor, the organization as a whole. When you are that, that's what we are. And guys, I've been a part of a lot of stuff in my life. Some stuff I'm proud of, some stuff I'm not. Some of it you know about, some of it I don't want you to know about. There's never been anything like being part of the church. When I surrendered my life back to Jesus Christ and became part of His church, this is before we were in Hoopston, I was part of a church 3 hours away. To be part of the church and what it stands for, there's nothing better. And I'd rather have Hoopston, Illinois see a revival, see a turning to Jesus Christ, see marriages and families and relationships. I'd rather have that happen than to win $1 billion in the lottery, which I don't play. That's what I want. That's why we're here. Why'd you take time out of your busy lives to come in Sunday morning? Why am I here? To preach, to bring God's word of truth and of hope and of love and also of sin and conviction, of repentance. Guys, if you love Jesus this morning, the church will be the most important thing in your life. I love my wife and kids. I love a lot of you people, but the church, my wife, kids, they're part of the church. This is who we are in Jesus Christ, not a building or a denomination, but a body of believers. So over 2,000 years ago, there was a group of radical people who risked their lives, who gave their lives, who sold their lives for Jesus Christ. They found and experienced His love by surrendering their hearts and lives. And you guys know they didn't have a big campus. They didn't have a great marketing program. They didn't have wonderful children's ministries or a lot of buildings or whatever it is. They just as individuals surrendered and gave their lives to Jesus Christ. And they found love and forgiveness. They found meaning and purpose and they understood that they had a call and this is what their lives were to be about. They were so radically changed by Jesus, and you and I need to have been, and lots of us are, but we need to make sure we're living so radically changed by Jesus that we understand there's nothing more important than making sure that people don't miss the message of salvation. That people don't miss the message and understand that people not hearing about Jesus, people not experiencing Him, people not giving their life to Him means they'll spend an eternity in hell and darkness, separated from God, separated from light, separated from love. And guys, do you see people all around you now that live their lives in darkness, but they think they're fine? Does that bother you? That's the mission of the church, is to be the change agent. So these people, what happened to them was they went from their pleasures and their ideas to pointing others to Jesus. They were all in. They became the tangible hope of their world, of their community. Is that what we are? They were different. What happened was the transformation in their lives was so great, and how they lived their lives was they were following Jesus in such a way that it created awe, A-W-E, it created awe in their community. And so I have to ask you here this morning, did your life create any sense of awe? For everything that you're known for, and all the, you're probably a good person as a general rule, I'm guessing, if you're here today, but does your love for and relationship with Jesus, are you creating a sense of awe with how you treat people, how you serve, how you live? Are we therefore then doing that as a body of believers? The world, their community saw something real in these people's lives and these people as a group. And that's what we have to have here as a group of believers, as the body of Jesus Christ, because it's us or else. As I look at Hoopston, as I look at our world, it is so lost. And I know for 2,000 years people have been saying that. And I'm not sure the world's worse than it's ever been, but it's in my 39 years, let me tell you, I've never seen people so evil and hateful. I've never seen such division. I've never seen such anger or envy. Everybody's angry and jealous and mad if somebody has stuff. They blame everybody for everything. There's so much self-seeking. There's so much despair. I've never seen the world in my 39 years so unable to control their urges to lash out, to be mean, their lust, they're wanting their own desires. And so I say to myself, church, Micah, you wake up. We should be a little more bold and reclaim. You know, we're here as a church. You know what else we're here for? We're here to reclaim in our lives and the lives of those around us what hell has stolen. We're here to take it back in the name of Jesus. So if you're here today and you're a guest, well, what is church? Church is a place where you should feel loved and accepted and to hear the message that God loves you. At the same time, you're a sinner and you need to repent and turn from that sin. It's not okay to live however you want. It's okay. It's not okay. And so church is all kinds of things, and we're going to talk about that today. But I want to talk about the world first real quick, and I want to read the words of Paul to Timothy talking about before Jesus came back. And is Jesus going to come back today? Maybe. Tomorrow? Maybe. In 10,000 years? Maybe. I don't know. But if He doesn't, each and every one of you, and myself included, will spend eternity somewhere. And that's based solely upon us saying yes to Jesus. And that's the primary mission of the church. I'm preaching the gospel today so that before we leave, one or more of you will say yes to Jesus. That you'll recommit your life to Him. That you'll turn from your sin if you're a Christian and living in sin. That you'll pray to forgive someone. That you'll come and pray that people will give their lives to Jesus. Because what else matters at the end of the day? You can gain the whole world, but if you lose your soul, what does it matter? And so, if you live in the world, you understand that things aren't great. And I think that Paul hit this perfectly in 2 Timothy. He said, you should know this, that in the last days there will be very difficult times. And I began to read this week and I thought, this just, and don't get ahead of me. Stay with me. Don't just read ahead. If you're like me, you want to read it. Stay with me. Guys, let me ask you right now, are people lovers of themselves and their money? Are they boastful and proud? Do they scoff at God? I mean, come on. I hear God's name in vain 50 times a day. Everywhere I go, every station I turn to, people scoff at God. God's a joke anymore. Watch a sitcom. Disobedient to their parents and ungrateful. How ungrateful are we anymore? I mean, I have pretty decent kids and we try to raise them the right way, but man, they're ungrateful. We don't spoil them, but they're I know that's the human condition to be ungrateful, but man, we really are. People consider nothing sacred anymore. Oh my, are you kidding me? nothing sacred anymore. So sad. They'll be unloving and unforgiving. They'll slander others and have no self-control. They'll be cruel and hate what is good. They'll betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride and love pleasure rather than God. They'll act religious. Now listen, verse 5 is talking to the church. And nobody's perfect. But this is talking about if you're here today and you come on Sunday, but you live in sin, you just live however you want. The Bible says that is dangerous, and that's dangerous for us to be around such people. It says acting religious but rejecting the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that. Another translation of this says, and boy, does this sound like now, it says that wrong will become right and right will become wrong. We celebrate wrong and sin like I've never seen in 39 years. And so I'm compelled because I believe this is the case, and it's sad. I'm not better than the world. It's just sad. It breaks my heart because I know there's a better way. Their eternities are at stake. Their lives, God has a better way. And so I'm compelled that we as a church reach people for Jesus. And you know what that means? I'm compelled to compel you to care about reaching people for Jesus. I'm compelled. It's like I'm obsessed with it. And we truly don't know how much time we have, do we? We don't know. So what's the purpose of the church? The early church made significant differences in the lives of their culture. I was at a pastor's meeting this week and went around the table and they said, if you could look at your church in 3 or 5 years, what's the one thing you'd like to say 3 or 5 years from today? And mine was easy. I'm like, that we have made a significant difference in the culture of Hoopston, Illinois. Because the culture needs to change. I mean, it's tough. The brokenness, the addictions, the poverty, the living in sin, the don't need to be married, we just live with boyfriend, girlfriend like it's nothing. You know, that's wrong. And I'm not perfect. I'm not preaching something that's not in God's Word. He loves you and wants you to live better. He cares about you. The world's a mess right now. Our own government, we're so caught up right now in trying to win elections that we're losing the world. And I don't do politics. Don't worry. Nobody needs to leave. I'm not trying to push any agenda but God's this morning. So He loves you and He cares about you. And there's just better than what we so often live in. So what's the answer? Is it the government? Is it the economy? Is it more pleasure? Is it live for yourself? Is it you only get one life, it's yours, live how you want? No, it's the church. The early church became the hope of the world. Their commitment and dedication to Jesus, their transformation. See, as Christians, guys, we're supposed to be different. We're supposed to be unique. As I heard this morning, so well put. Those early believers, as you and I should, went from selfish to selfless. They went from hate to love. They went from worshiping their lives and their ways to worshiping Jesus. And it's going to require a dedication on our part. How dedicated are we? I don't know. How dedicated are we? I know we're all busy. But I know for a church of 300 and something, should we be a praying church? And I know most or all of you pray, and I pray a lot by myself and at home and here and in the office. But should we be a praying church? Is prayer powerful? You guys know every Thursday we have a prayer group, one in the morning and one in the evening to fit our schedules, and it's the same 7 people every week. It's the same 5% of our church that shows up. Actually, it's less than that. It's the same 7 people every week. We should show up together and pray. I mean, there's a morning and there's an evening. And not every week can you make it. I don't make it every week, but I make it. Because we should be praying together. We should be different. The world should look at our unity. They should look at our togetherness in Jesus Christ. And it should just blow their mind. So what's the answer to the world's rampant sin and evil and lust and addictions and brokenness and broken homes and broken lives? It's the church. Well, no, that's so come to church and all that'll... Okay, hold on, bear with me. You surrender and give your heart and life to Jesus Christ. It's going to mean being part of the church. It's going to mean coming together to worship and fellowship and hear His Word and fix our lives because we all need fix. We're all broken. It's going to mean coming together and it's going to mean doing all of those things. And so then we're going to get into God's Word and we're going to begin to forgive people and to be selfless and to handle our money and our sexuality and our relationships. We're going to handle them well. We're going to get wisdom from God's Word. Yeah, church is the answer. Amen. Well, I don't need to come to church to believe in God. You know what? I don't need to go to the grocery store because I believe that groceries exist. But if I don't go to the store, I'm going to starve to death and die. Right? So I don't need to come to church. You will. You love Jesus? Is your heart and life surrendered to Him? Do you love people? Do you love the messed up people around you like Jesus loves you and your messed up self and me and my messed up self? Yeah. Then this coming together and being part of church, not only is it commanded, but amen to that. Amen to that. So what's the purpose of the church? I mean, there's so many reasons. We're going over some of them. But before we can answer that, over these next 3 weeks, we have to answer this. This is too important for 3 points and done. Before we can answer, we must look at the founder of the church. Peter, right? That's the rock on which Jesus built His church? No. See, that's a misconception. That is incorrect. It's Jesus. The church is all about Jesus. This is His church. I just work here. This is His church. We're together, but this is His. Church is not a denomination. It's not tradition. It's not you or your family or music style or any of those things. Church is Jesus. Matthew 16, there's a very intriguing passage. If you have your Bibles or whatever you use, go to Matthew chapter 16. Jesus is talking about church. And before this, in Matthew 5, He said that we will be the salt of the earth. That we will be the salt of the earth. That we will be different. We will be something that is special. In Matthew 28, He reads, Jesus gives them the Great Commission. He says, all authority has been given to Me in heaven and earth. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And He says, teach them to observe the things I've commanded you, and I'm with you till the end of the age. So here, we teach God's Word. We teach the things that God has commanded us. Are you observing the things that He's commanded? Or are you living life however you want? There's the question. Jesus, before He ascended, He said, we'll be His witnesses. Jesus spent 33 years on earth, and He came to earth to build His church. If Jesus didn't come to earth to save us, and therefore then to leave the church as the saving agent, then Jesus, when He was resurrected, it would have been over. But He ascended, He left the Holy Spirit, He established His church, and He's still building His church. And He's coming back to get, not those that just believe He is, but He's coming back to get His church. The Bible's very clear. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. That's right. It's just as clear that He's coming back to get His church. His big group of imperfect people. That's right, us. And all the other churches in the world. There's only one church. So in chapter 16, there's an intriguing conversation going on that today God wants to use to change your heart and life. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus is talking to His disciples. He's talking to a group of guys, group of men, talking to people just like you and I. And Jesus says in verse 13, He says, hey guys, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Jesus looks at him and says, who do people say that I am? And they start shouting out, some say John the Baptist, or some say Elijah, some say Jeremiah, or some say one of the prophets. They're still kind of like, well, people say all kinds of stuff. People say all kinds of things. And then Jesus looks at them, and He looks and asks them, just as He asks you and I today, what I think might be the most important question we can ever be asked. He looks at them and says, but who do you say that I am? The question for you today. Jesus wants to know, who do you say that I am? Now, I don't want anybody to answer, but you need to understand. How you answer this question is that it means everything. And I don't want any answers out loud. I don't want any at all. I don't. Brenda, who do you say that Jesus is? Jeff, who do you say that Jesus is? John, who do you say that Jesus is? Russ, who do you say that Jesus is? Oh, is He going to pick on me? Yeah, I might, because I'm going this way. Seriously. Debbie, who do you say that Jesus is? Don, who do you say that Jesus is? Joe, who do you say that Jesus is? Dan, Jesus wants to know. He's asking you, who do you say that I am? Katie, who's Jesus? All right, you guys are all off the hook. This is the eternal question. Who do you say that Jesus is? What's He to you? You know what He is to me? He's my Savior. He's my Redeemer. He's my friend. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. He's everything. And I'm a husband, father, and pastor, and Cardinals fan, and guy who likes to do all kinds of fun stuff and live life. But let me tell you, it's all in the context of Jesus comes first. He's everything. Without Him, I'm nothing. And so often, and some of you today, you're living with that upside down. Well, I'm this, and I mean, I believe in Jesus, and I go to church. What? I do that because I love Him. I do that because it's a privilege. It's an honor. Because I love sharing His Word with you guys and worshiping with you and getting to come together and all of these things. But the most important question you'll ever be asked in history is this: who do you say that Jesus is? That's very personal. Who's He in your life? Who's He in your marriage? Who's He? Who is He? And listen to verses then 16 through 19. Simon Peter answered and said to Him, "You're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." And let me tell you, if you heard that question today and you tried to intellectualize it, and I believe, and I think He's this, and I think He's that, you don't know Him yet. Because it's only, and we'll get there, there's only one way to know who He is. That's to surrender your life to Him and turn from your sin. Repent. There's no other name under heaven and earth by which you can be saved. And when you do that, and let me tell you, that's the hardest thing I ever had to do, was to repent, to surrender. I'm a man. I don't want to surrender. It's my life. And so I spent 30 years trying to kind of surrender at times, and okay, well, yeah, I need to probably stop living this way. Nope. I had to surrender 100%. I am done. I have turned from my sins. Jesus, You are the Lord of my life. Take over. And then you know what happens, just like verse 17. Flesh and blood will never reveal to you who Jesus is. Sitting in church will never reveal to you who Jesus is. Trying to be good will never reveal to you who Jesus is. Just believing that He exists will never reveal to you who Jesus is. Giving your heart and life to Him will allow Him to reveal to you who He is. Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, my Father who's in heaven. And also I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell won't prevail against it. And I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind and loose on earth will be bound and loosed in heaven. Listen, Peter's the rock in which I will build my church. So you know what? That's right. Peter's the rock. Peter helped start the early church. Peter's very important. But let me tell you what that rock sets on. It's the foundation of all eternity, and that's Jesus Christ. So Peter didn't start the church, Jesus did. We are Jesus' church. And if you're not careful, you can start religion right there. Anything other than Jesus, no. It's Jesus' church. We worship and follow Jesus. We pray to Jesus. It's Jesus. That's it. And guys, the answer to that question is everything. Who do you say that Jesus is? And so right here is when He first mentions church to the disciples. This is the original translation of church. Listen to this. It means gathering of believers. It means body of believers. A gathering and a body of believers together that are united. Boom. There you go. I don't need to go to church to be a Christian. What are you talking about? The church is us Christians. Again, I can believe in all kinds of stuff. But what does it mean? I believe that I'm standing on some carpet. So, what does it have to do with how I live my life and who's in charge and who my heart belongs to and who I follow and who I obey? It means nothing. Jesus being Jesus, the Lord and Savior, the Messiah, He who was and is to come, the Alpha Omega, beginning in, the Son of God, the Messiah, the only name, the name above all names. That matters if you've given your heart and life to Him and just said yes to save you from your sin. So Jesus mentions the church right here in its foundation, which is Him and Him alone. And the foundation of Christ is bigger than everything. Everything we do, my life is there's no hedging. It is risked and based, and my faith put in the fact that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Son of God, my Lord and Savior, died on my cross, on the cross, forgave me of my sins, raised again, and He's coming back. And everything else plays second fiddle to that. And for some of you here today, your head believes that, but that's not your life. And that needs to change in order for us to be the church. That needs to change because those around you and me and the programs and the building and the website and all this stuff, we're never going to see lost people come and salvation in droves until individually we say yes. We answer that question right. Who do you say Jesus is? Who is He in your life? And make no mistake, when He mentions that hell won't stand against the church, that's right. Because let me tell you, there is an enemy. He is real. And He's fighting against the church. He's fighting against your salvation and your holiness and your fruitfulness. And He's fighting against your life. He's fighting against all the people that we are around every day that are lost. People make fun of, they misunderstand, they hate, they denounce the church, they ridicule the church. So understand when He says He's giving us the keys, that we have the power to win. And you want to know why so often the church doesn't win? So we don't win in our lives. We look at the church as this thing. I'm talking to every one of you here today. Well, the church, the pastor, and the church. You're the church. You want the church to win? You live a life for Jesus Christ. You give Him your heart and life. And you know what power we have? In addition to the Holy Spirit, we have the Word of God. You want the church to win? Why do you think we stand up here 52 weeks a year and say, you have got to get in the Word of God? You've got to learn it, and you've got to live it, and you've got to love it. It's powerful. You want to know why we do that? Because that's true. Oh, the church. Oh, the church. Oh, guys, what if you would just live by God's Word? What if you would love and give and serve and forgive and make wise decisions and learn lessons and live right lives? What if you would handle these areas of your life that you're not handling well according to God's Word? He will heal and redeem and restore. It's a wonderful thing. It's a weapon. And then He goes on to say, till the very end of time. You know what that means? Jesus is still building His church. He's not done. He's not done with you and I. He's not done with this yet. Guys, this church and the church is all about Jesus. People always say, there's so many denominations, how do you know? I know when a church preaches the truth of God's Word and is about reaching lost people and making disciples and Jesus is in charge of that church, that's the church. If I stood up here and said, hey, this is my church, I'm the pastor, no, that's not being the church. This is Jesus' church. I just get to be part of it and I'm so thankful. So what's Jesus still doing in 2016? He's still building the church. Did you know that just within the last few weeks, the Church of God found, we thought we had two Church of Gods in Pakistan. Pakistan's a very largely Muslim country and it has some struggles. We just found out there are 163 new Church of God congregations in Pakistan. Amen. Awesome. Praise God. Guys, amen, awesome, and praise God ought to be happening in your life and my life and this church all the time too. And when we get right who Jesus is, it will. When we get right how we love, we get right how we live, we get right how we give and how we serve and how we treat each other and how we pray. Woo! Amen. Awesome. And God's done some of that here. But He's not done. Amen. Woo! It's up to you and I. Because we're the church. You know what? You know what the Lord believes? You know what Jesus believes and knows today? It's us or else. He didn't give any other organization on planet Earth the Holy Spirit. He didn't give a promise that He's coming back. He didn't put it in place. He didn't leave His Word. He didn't promise that hell wouldn't stand against it. He wouldn't bless and give the power. And no other organization, and there's lots of good ones, but the church. So what do we do with this? You know, I bet if you ask people today in Hoopston who Jesus is, you get a lot of different answers. Matter of fact, I encourage you today, when you leave here and go to Henning's and you sit down and the waitress comes up and says, what can I get you to drink? I want you to say, well, before I do, who's Jesus? Seriously. When you go to the grocery store to pick up your chicken strips and the deli worker comes, what can I get you, hon? Hold on. Before, can I ask you, who's Jesus? When you go to pump gas and click pay inside, go inside and pay, and the person comes up, say, hey, can I ask you something today? Who's Jesus? No, really, do it. And text me their answers. You're going to get all kinds of different answers. Right? And that's fine and dandy.
I want you to set that aside because that's not even as important right now. Who do you say Jesus is? Who's Jesus to you? Who's the Son of God to you? Who's the Messiah and the Savior to you? You want to know how you know this today? Well, there's two easy ways. Number one is you give your life to Him. You surrender your heart to Him and say, yes, Jesus, you stood in my place. Forgive me of my sins and make me new. Take away my guilt and shame. Take away my sin. Be the Lord of my life. And that requires a surrender. And until you surrender, He won't reveal. Verse 17 said, flesh and blood will never reveal to you who He is. Only God in heaven. The only way to understand the purpose of the church is for you to give your life. It must become personal. You must repent and turn to Him. You've got to pray for Him to come into your heart and be the Lord and Savior of your life. You've got to give your life to Him. It's the only way. He's the only way to heaven. He's the only way to eternal life. He's the only way to be forgiven. He's the only way you'll find freedom. You'll find guidance. You'll find safety. Is Jesus. It's for you to be able to say today, who's Jesus? He's my Lord and Savior. Not just because I believe He exists, but I live my life for Him. He's forgiven me of my sins. He's made me new. He's saved me. He's made me a better husband and father. He's given me purpose and direction in life, and I love Him and I love His church. It's for us to be all in. Who do you say that He is? It's the question of all eternity. It's amazing what He'll do in your life if you'll give your life to Him. But it takes a surrender. And it's us or else, church. Not only does this message need to be taken into our world, some of you need to respond to it today. Would you guys stand with me and bow your heads and close your eyes? In just a moment, we're going to sing and I'm going to invite you to come and I'll pray with you. But you're not coming up here to pray with me. You're not using those two legs God's given you for something or anything other than to respond to Jesus this morning. To respond to Him, to make Him the Lord and Savior of your life. He's still building His church. He still loves you. He still wants to forgive you. He still wants to work in your heart and life. But until you're willing to take that first step, He won't reveal it to you. You've got to have faith and come to Him. For some of you here today, you think, well, I'm not ready yet. You don't know that you'll have another chance to be ready. And let me tell you something, you're never going to be ready. I'm still not ready. I've just said yes. I've said yes to Him as my Lord and Savior to forgive me and to live in me, to live through me. And I've lived every other way and there's nothing better. Some of you today just need to respond. You just need to say yes. As we sing today, the altar will be open. You can come and pray for yourself or for someone else or for Hoopston or for your church, anything. Come and pray. And for some of you today, you need to be able to answer that question. Who's Jesus to you? Who's He in your life? Would you come and pray today as we sing?